Well, it's good to be here again. I think it's been about 3 years since the last time I was here, and so it's a delight to be back and to share with you what God has been doing in our ministry. And for those of you who have not met me before, I'm the ministry coordinator for Christ of Solid Rock Ministries, but Broken Arrow Youth Ranch. And I'll explain the reason for that name in a few moments. We live in a little town called Wood Mountain. You'll see it on the map. I'll show it here in a moment. There's 15 people live in the town of Wood Mountain. That's where my daughters have grown up. And I have three daughters, so I've lived in a girls' dorm all my married life, as I mentioned the last time I was here. And my wife is a teacher. And because of commitments, she had to remain at home this weekend, and I'll be traveling after this presenting the ministry. We've thoroughly enjoyed living in Wood Mountain. My wife plants a garden, and that's always a risk. In Wood Mountain, between the wildlife and the neighbors' pets and all that, we have a pot-bellied pig that raids our garden every once in a while, and Hammy is now trained. You just got to go into the garden. Hammy goes straight home. He knows what he's supposed to do. But we have a real sense of community there. So we live in a real remote area. As I mentioned the last time, my daughters have all played university basketball in the United States, even though they grew up in a very small town and have enjoyed traveling and those types of things. Our oldest daughter is now a massage therapist in Medicine Hat and will be teaching at Medicine Hat College this fall. Our middle daughter is going to be a speech therapist and is presently at University of Western Ontario in London, Ontario. Finishing that up. She got her degree in the United States. And her other daughter is at home. She works on the ranch and works with our horses and provides respite for Todd and Laura as I'm gone quite a bit. And she provides respite when we designate for them to go away and spend some time together as a couple. And we've had to force them to do that at gunpoint almost because there's always things to do in any ministry. And so that's a little bit of our background. We live, as mentioned, in a small part of southern Saskatchewan, or in a small community. We're a few miles from the Grasslands National Park. Wood Mountain is where Sitting Bull came after he dealt with General Custer. So Sitting Bull came up, and there's still remnants of his tribe in our area. The first Northwest Mounted Police Post was established in our area to govern Sitting Bull. We have the oldest continuous rodeo in Canada at Wood Mountain. It started with between the Mounties and Sitting Bull's tribe and has remained for 120 years. It was 120 years this year. And I have the privilege most years of participating in that and co-announcing the rodeo. This year I couldn't because of memorial service I had to do. But that's a little bit of our rich heritage that we have in our small little pocket of the world. And so we greatly enjoy living there. When this ranch was just an idea and a vision, your pastor and I used to sit down and discuss this because he was pastoring in Assiniboia, Saskatchewan at that time. And him and I used to dialogue, and because Wood Mountain is just 40 miles from Assiniboia, and we used to talk about this ministry and what we felt God might want to do in the lives of children. And so your pastor has been a great source of encouragement. And since then, you all have, through your prayers, through your commitments financially, for those who come, like the Salmons have come down and helped us out when we were just in the infancy stages. And so I look forward to showing you some things. I want to read to you a passage of Scripture, actually two passages. And if you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to turn with me to Psalm 71. Beginning at verse 17. It says there, O God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. And even when I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who are to come. For your righteousness, O God, reaches to the heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you. If you want to flip in your Bibles to Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, it says this, For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, And this not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So our relationship with God comes through Christ. It's got nothing to do with ourselves. It was all of His grace in which Christ came to this earth, lived, died on our behalf, became a sacrifice to pay the penalty for our mistakes, for our shortcomings. And so it is by grace you have been saved through faith, faith in the finished work of Christ. And this not of yourselves, and not by works, it is a gift of God. And then it goes on to say in Ephesians 2:10, what does He like to do in our lives after that? It says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which He prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And so God goes before us preparing things so that we should walk in them. And so it's a matter for us and our board to be in prayer with the Lord so that we can walk in step with Him. And He leads and moves ahead. And I want to share with you some of the things that God has done to put a little bit of earthly context on those thoughts that I've just mentioned, so that we can declare to other generations who this God is and what He has done. And I know this church could have many of you come up and share what God has done in your lives, the miraculous things that He's done in your lives. And it's wonderful to be able to share those things. And so I just want to share with you this morning from our context to perhaps encourage you in whatever God might be calling you to do and to remain faithful to that. So we'll just see if the electronics will work this morning. That's where we are. That little green arrow, you'll see Moose Jaw, Regina, and Swift Current there. So we're just right on along the border, 25 miles. The ranch is actually about 12 miles from the border, and you can see the lights of Opine, Montana from our hills. And we live in a very hilly country. It's like Cypress Hills, only without the evergreen trees. And so it's a beautiful place to live. Christ to Solid Rock Ministries, shorten it up to Solid Rock Ministries, and Broken Arrow Youth Ranch. It's called Broken Arrow Youth Ranch. Comes from a movie depicting a true story of a military battle that took place in the 60s. And in that military battle, some troops got airlifted into battle, and what happened was they were immediately overwhelmed. And the military at that time had a term. If you were being overwhelmed by the enemy, all you had to do was get on the radio and say Broken Arrow, and that would immediately engage all the resources of the military to come to your help. And when I saw that, I said, that's what we are going to be called, because we want to use all of God's resources and our resources to come to the aid of families that are overwhelmed by their personal issues to the extent that they cannot care for their children. And so the biggest challenge often in regard to our ministry is explaining the types of children that we are interested in taking. We are interested in taking children that are not necessarily delinquent, but are in situations where mom and dad have such personal problems that it makes them unable to care for their children. So, for example, we have children in our care that have been associated with drug addiction. Their parents have been drug addicts, or violent, or just unable to look after them, basically, and there's a variety of means to that and why that takes place. And so we want to take these children, give them a place of stability and security, an example of family, so they can have stability while mom and or dad work out their personal issues. We take children for a minimum of 2 years to a maximum till they graduate from high school, and we take children of any age. Right now we have a boy that's a little over one, another boy that's 2.5, boys that are 7 and 9, and a boy that is 14. And so those are the types of children that we will take. But again, for a minimum of 2 years. Why is that? It allows their caregivers to work through the valleys of recovery. Nobody comes out of things in a straight line when they want to come out. Sometimes it's 3 steps ahead, 2 steps back, 1 more step back, a couple ahead, and it's like that until things get sorted out. But we believe with the Lord's help that people can overcome their personal issues. And so we want to free them up from the responsibilities of their children so they can attend to that. So how can you help us? You may know of a family in your community. You may know a family close to you that are obviously having difficult times and are having a tough time caring for their children. And so you can come alongside them. And as they want to seek help and want to overcome things through the church or through some other Christian agency, you can come alongside and say, we know a place where your children can go, where they're safe, where there's a place of stability and security, while you work out your personal issues, because you need to focus on that so that we can put it all back together again and you can be a cohesive family unit, and that is our desire. We also look to the day when we have a retired couple live on site in which they can provide a grandparent image. And so we have so what we have is a couple that will take in these children, and we can take up to 10 children in a home, and they'll become their parents. They're not on shift work, they are their parents. 24/7, 365 days of the year, unless we have respite for them when they go away each month for a few days. And so we want to take boys and girls and make up a home, and you'll see how that will take place in a few moments with the pictures. And so we also want to have, as I mentioned, a retired couple to live on site to provide a grandparent image. So we want to take children who are not necessarily delinquent. Children that are on drugs or are violent or suicidal do not fit in this family atmosphere. They need to go to another place where they can be dealt with from there. But we take children, for example, that my wife came from. My wife came out of a situation like the children we want to take. When she was 12 years old, her father just walked away from the home. There was 8 kids in the family, and he just never came back. He used to go for months at a time and go fishing and go up north and ice fish and net fish through the ice and all of that. And one time he just never came back. And if I was to show you a picture of their home in those days, unless there were children standing out in front of it, you would think that home must be abandoned. There was no shingles on the roof. There was no paint on the walls, on the outside, or much to do on the inside. And as I mentioned the last time I was here, when it rained, the rain would land on the beds in the upstairs because there was no shingles on the roof. And when it snowed, similarly. And so they were in a very tough situation. So my wife, at the age of 12, moved out with an older sister who was 14. They moved in with grandma. A year later, when my wife was 13 and the older sister was 15, she got a boyfriend, the 15-year-old. Grandma didn't like that, so she just locked the doors. And so they were left on the street. And they found a place to live and worked in a bus depot and different places to make a living. And so they weren't delinquent kids. They were just kids in a tough situation. And so that's the type of children that we are looking at. The government estimates that for every dollar you spend in preventative is equal to $7 in aftercare once they have gone delinquent. And so we want to catch them prior to that. And there are many children in those types of situations. When an addict decides to go for help, what often inhibits them from going for help is by the time they get around to that, they have so lied and manipulated and exhausted their family. The family wants nothing to do with them because they feel this is just a manipulative tool to get you to look after your kids, or to get us to look after your kids, rather. And so they won't have anything to do with it. The addict then does not want to go to the government because what do I do with my kids? Or I might not get them back, rather. And so they don't want to go there. So we provide an opportunity for them to send them to us, and we will look after them while they work through their issues. We're a perfect fit for Teen Challenge, as I've mentioned before. Teen Challenge takes addicts, and particularly now that Teen Challenge is looking at building a woman's home, there may be many kids in tow, and we can take those children and care for them. In fact, I was talking with someone from Teen Challenge a while ago, and one of the men there had to leave the program because he had nowhere for his kids to go. And at that time, we weren't able to take the children because our care home wasn't finished. But now it's finished, and that circumstance has moved on. But that's a perfect example of what we can do. And so we open the door to churches, to people that we meet in the community, that if you know of someone that could benefit from our ministry, some children, that we would be more than happy to take them. And so that's what we're about. We don't receive any money from the government. We don't go through the government, and we have a fundamental philosophical difference that's not a criticism of the government. It's just the way we do things is different. They like to have a quick turnover of the children. And so initially we worked with social services and took in children. And we took in a boy, a young boy, and they said to his mother, you must quit this and this and that in order to get your son back. Well, you and I know there's more to parenting than quitting something. A lot more to parenting than that. Well, in a few months, she did that, and the boy went back to her. Well, for most of us parents, we know that children don't usually relieve stress. They usually add a little stress into life. And I've always struggled with why there are children that are in 5 or 6 foster homes, but this was a perfect example of how that works out. If you're tied in with social services and doing foster care, what they will do is place a child with you. Then a few months later, the child will go back to the parent. If a few months down the road, the parent has a malfunction, that child becomes available again. But what happens is, as soon as the child leaves your care, because there's such an overload of children in the system, as soon as the child leaves your care, they immediately replace that child with another one. So what happens is, a few months down the road, the original child becomes available. He can't go back to the home he used to be in because it's full. And so he goes off to another home. And then it's just like spokes in a wheel. You just keep going back and forth. And it's hard on the child, obviously. And so in our home with our children that we have there, it would be emotionally difficult to have children coming and going all the time. And so we say a minimum of 2 years to allow to get through the valleys of recovery, to work through those stressors, to build into their lives, the parents as well as the children, but we build into the lives of the parents through connecting them with churches and places like that so that they can learn to parent and to grow in their faith and their understanding of the Lord. And so that's what we're about. And that's why we do what we do. And so this little picture here is one of the boys. And that we have the horses, the ranch, we have the children, and the glove represents a good work ethic. We want the children to learn to do a good job, to be responsible, and create within them a desire for something better. And so that's what we do with the children. This is what God has given us to raise children on, a beautiful ranch. These are just some of the hills in our area. We don't quite have as many trees as you have up here, but we have a vast expanse that is breathtaking, really, from the hills. It is. You know why they say Saskatchewan people make the best sailors? This is a true story, a true fact. They make the best sailors. You know why? They're used to open country. And they're used to vastness, and they can take the seas. If you live up in the bush up here, it's a little tricky. But from those down south. And so this is what our ranch is like. And that's some of the grass that grows there. That's some of our cattle that God has graciously given us. And their calves. That's just one of the beautiful pictures that my daughter took of our place in the hills. You can get kind of a perspective on things. This is how our land is situated. Whoops. 4 quarters of land. The yard site that I'm going to show you is right where it says you are here. Those little stars there are future homes that we want to have. We would like to have, Lord willing, 4 homes with 4 couples to be their parents and 40 children to look after. And then beyond that, we want to go as far as the Lord wants to go with this. We have had discussions with Alberta. They're looking at establishing a ministry there, similar to ours. And so that's how our land is situated. And again, you're all welcome to come down for a visit. We have a log home that the Salmons helped to make suitable so that someone can live in it and stay in it. And you can come down anytime and visit us. You can shoot gophers. You can play with the horses. You can do all those kinds of things. And we love to have company. And so you're welcome anytime to come down for a visit and see the place. And you can just pick up a card of mine, you can call. You need to call ahead, so make sure there's room. This house here is not our care home. This is a couple now that have come on site to look after our ranch. We were running into a bit of a dilemma. And the dilemma is always the cart or the horse, which comes first. And so here was the difficulty. I'm on the road quite a bit. Todd and Laura, the couple that look after the kids, are on site. And when people come to visit or groups come, as we get more children, it gets more difficult to kind of welcome the people that come. And then if there's an issue with the children, to attend to that. And when work groups come, it's hard to organize and be a part of that and still attend to the kids. And so what we realize is we're going to need a couple to look after the ranch activities. The horses, the cattle. We just ceded some of our land to Oats this spring and all of those types of things. And so we began to pray about having a couple come and do that. And a guy in our church in Wood Mountain and his wife were trying to sell their ranch and had it on the market for 9 months. In July of last year, they approached me and we had lunch. And the husband, whose name is Rick also, said to me, you know, I'm feeling God is calling us to come and be involved in your ranch ministry. I said, oh, really? And he's a perfect fit. He has purebred cattle background, a farmer as well, and all of those types of things. And so he said, we'd like to sell our ranch and buy something, move it on site, hook it all up, and do the ranch activity so the Todd and Laura are free to look after the kids. If they can help, that's fine. But if there's something that needs to be attended to with the kids, they can do that. So I asked his wife, who was sitting there, Maureen, I wish they were here this morning. I don't have a picture of me there. I'm sorry about that. Anyway, Maureen is sitting there. I said, well, what do you think, Maureen? We haven't sold our ranch in 9 months. I don't think this is going to be quick. I don't think, you know, and basically I don't know that it's ever going to happen. And so I said, well, first things first, you need to sell the ranch. So let's pray and ask the Lord to sell you your ranch. 3 days later, that ranch sold. They didn't even advertise. Somebody came by and said, I'd like to buy your ranch. And so, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so they have come on site, and that's their home that they're just setting up, and they're doing it all on their own. It's all pure donation to us, and that's a real blessing to us. Moving along, their home is over there. We're moving now to the right. That's our care home up in the top there, and then our cedar log home where you could stay if you came to visit. And that home was also donated to us. In a moment, you'll see some of the basement project. We can have 5 boys upstairs and 5 girls downstairs. And right now, we can have room for 1 more boy and 4 girls. And so, again, if you know of someone that could benefit, and some of you may be involved in, like we talk to people that are involved in street ministries, and sometimes there's a teenager that needs to get away from their peer group for a while and get established and all of that, that have committed their life to Christ, and we would be very welcome to having someone come and stay with us that is interested in growing and being discipled. We have a tremendous church and a tremendous sense of community, and so that's another option for us. Moving along, there's our riding arena, corral system, albeit in a need of some work. And then we have the hills, and there's our cattle and all of that. This is the basement that's under that house, and this was a group that came from a northern part of the province that came down to help us. And as you can see, it's a very tall basement. And a denomination donated all the money to build the basement. And then a denomination donated all the money to furnish and finish the basement. And I'll just show you the procedure in that. And so we're putting in a floor there. It was a missions project from a church. That's Todd and his wife, Laura. It's Todd there who look after the children. And we're just putting in-floor heating there. And you can see how that all works. And then those are the rooms being built. And gyprocked, and that's the finished floor. That's one of the bedrooms for their daughter. We allow the children to kind of have it the way they like it. It's a little bright for me. I wouldn't be able to sleep in there. But nonetheless, that's what she wanted, and so we allowed that. We do put boundaries on it, but colors isn't really one of them. And so that's one of the rooms there. That's a wood-burning stove that heats the water for the in-floor heating. And that was critical this year. For some of you who get our letter, this winter the power was out on the ranch for 54 hours straight. And a blizzard had come in. They couldn't even get out. And that in-floor heating provided the warmth to come up through the floor. We could get a small generator to run the pump and kept the floor warm. They had no cooking facilities or anything. Since I wrote a letter and explained that, we've received 2 more generators, and so now we can handle a power outage. And so people from BC offered, people from Saskatchewan and Alberta, and so we have 2 more generators now to power all of that. And so we're fixed now to be able to handle power outages. There's some people out there building fence for us. Then we built a tree house/deer stand. out in the property there, and we like to hunt a bit. All the boys like to hunt, and we like to do that too. And so the children go to school in the neighboring town from us in Glentworth, Saskatchewan. Wood Mountain's closed. The children go to school there. My wife's a teacher and happens to teach some of the children, and so we can keep an eye on them. And we can also protect them from being falsely accused by other children who could use them as a scapegoat, so to speak, for getting out of their own trouble, because these kids would be easily targeted for that. And so God has again placed things strategically. My wife was working in another school in Limerick, Saskatchewan, that closed, and a job came available at Glentworth just when we're sending the kids there. So again, God goes before us. And so we're so grateful for that and thankful. And all of what I just shown you is really for these little gaffers. These are the children. This is a young boy by the name of Keegan. Keegster, we call him all the time. Grinning little fool. He's always smiling. And he came out of a difficult situation. Mom had a choice, either to go with social services or to go with us. Placed upon them by social services. And she chose to come to us with her two boys for a minimum of 2 years. The social worker was quite happy for that, because they realized the quick turnover is difficult. And so we are working with Mom and of course caring for the little gaffers. And that's his brother. That's the two of them there. And we used to call him Chomper because he bit everything in sight. When he get excited, he'd bite you. When he was mad, he'd bite. He doesn't do that anymore. And so the older boys have kind of straightened that out a little bit in a variety of ways. But anyways, Carson doesn't do that anymore. Their mother comes down every other week and spends 3 days at the ranch. We give her complete opportunity to spend as long as she wants. She could spend 2 weeks there if she wanted to. That's what the log house is for also. And so she comes down and has a place where she can look after the children and stay with them and be a mother. And then we have our other home in which the other children are looked after. And so that's the opportunity that we can provide. Some people think distance is an issue. No, we can provide someone with a home to stay in and to look after the kids. And so that's what it's all about. And we're grateful to the Lord for providing that for us. That's them decorating a Christmas tree. That's Cale. He's the boy that's seven and came to us 5 years ago before any of this was in place, and has now been adopted by Todd and Laura along with his brother that you'll see in a moment here. That's the whole gang there. That's Cale, and then Tristan on the upper right. Some of you will remember him from the last time I spoke here. When those boys came to us, they were 2 and 4. They came, they're brothers, full brothers, and they had seen a lot. Tristan was 4 years old. He said to Todd and I, unsolicited at a picnic, when he first came, he said, when I get older, I'm going to shoot my dad. That's what he said. He'd seen so much. Some of you have heard this illustration before, but for those of you who haven't, I'll illustrate again. Those of you who have computers know that if your computer has a virus, it does you no good to add more programs into the computer. You have got to fix that virus in order for your computer to function properly. I'm not a computer expert. I just use them functionally as I need them. They're just a tool for me. But as I was traveling, God gave me the illustration that I'm just going to share with you, part of which I just did. The illustration was this: you and I are like computers. In our lives, we accumulate viruses, bitterness, resentment, all of those types of things. Now, we can add into these children's lives a beautiful home, a loving couple to look after them, quads to ride, horses to play with, cattle to work with, and all of that, and take them swimming, provide a grandparent couple for them. But if we do not attend to the virus that they accumulate, it will surface again and again. And some of you are in the same boat. Some of you have accumulated viruses unknowingly. I came to the Lord when I was 23. I had no idea about forgiveness. I just sucked it up. But when I got married, I began to realize that certain things are affecting my marriage, my response being the most critical part of that. And you know, some of us say, well, if you weren't like that, I wouldn't be like this. And I used to argue those types of things. But what I've come to realize down the road from that is that my wife may do something to me that isn't right. But if my response is not right, according to God's word, that is what He wants me to deal with. And He has used her to reveal it in my life. People don't cause things, they reveal things. It's a little shift change. The Lord says, not what goes into the man that defiles the man, but what comes out of the man defiles the man. Christ said to Peter, in Luke chapter 22, I believe it is, He said to Peter, Satan has demanded to sift you like wheat, but I'm going to pray for you. And what did he pray? You can look it up. Read chapter 22 or 23. It's in there. He says, Satan has demanded to sift you like wheat, but I'm going to pray for you. And what did he pray? That your faith may not fail. He didn't prevent. He said the response to that is to apply your faith. There are ancestral issues that come down the pike that I was totally unaware of in my own life. I had no clue about ancestral issues. And I was like the Apostle Paul, who said, that which I want to do, I do not do. The very thing I wish to do, I don't do it. I'd sit there and wish I'd be different, and I was just the same. I would vow I was going to change, and I wouldn't change. And what does Paul say to us? You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you in Galatians 3:3? Having begun by the Spirit, you're now trying to be perfected in the flesh. And what is he saying? God's Spirit convicts us, we come to Christ. Then what do? We try to change ourselves, and we can't. We can adapt and we can adjust, but it's the Lord who ultimately changes us. He says, having begun by the Spirit, you're now trying to be perfected in the flesh in your own efforts. He says, who has bewitched you? Who has fooled you? What does Christ say? When you're weak, you're strong. He says, my power is perfected in weakness. What does Paul say? Paul says, therefore, I am well content with insults, with persecutions, with distresses. And I remember reading that and thinking, oh, not a chance. I'm not well content with an insult. I may take it, but I'm not content. So there's something that needs to be attended to in my life so that my well-being isn't dependent upon someone's opinion, someone's thoughts about me, someone's statement towards me. And the Lord wants us to come through that and out the other side so that people don't control us, but He does. I'll give you the virus test that I gave a few years ago for those of you who didn't hear me before. Have you ever met somebody you didn't know, you just have known for 5 minutes and you don't like them? Most of us have. When that happened to me, I asked the Lord, why is that? And you know what the Lord said to me? He reminds you of somebody you already don't like. And that's why it says in the book of Hebrews, let no root of bitterness spring up by which many are defiled. When you have a root of bitterness towards someone, whether that's a parent, whether that's someone from 20 years ago, when you encounter someone with a different face and a different name, but the same attitude and the same action, you immediately don't like them. And they ruin your meal, they ruin your day, they ruin the activity you're at. And God says, I want you to be free of that so they don't control your life. That young boy there that's up on the screen when he was 4, you know what one of his biggest challenges in is if you get all wound up and your voice gets raised. See, he lived in that when he was 4. And as soon as there's any elevation of voice or you say, Tristan, there's just an immediate reaction to that because he had experienced so much of where his mom got beaten and there was much arguing, and so that just sets him off. Well, do you think for one moment that he's not going to get married and there isn't going to be occasions when that takes place? Or at the workplace or somewhere else? So we have got to work through that with him, and that's what we want to do with these children in the time that God gives us to work with them. By the grace of God, Tristan and Kale are now adopted by Todd and Laura at the mother's request. And they've been a real source of blessing to us. That young man was very suicidal, or had thoughts of that. As a couple, as a parent, because he was younger then, I said, we can pray over him and pray through the ancestral stuff because you are the parents of him. And they did that, and it's never occurred again. It was an issue down the back down the pike. I say that, and realizing I can't explain it all for brevity of time, but I say that for you to think about it. And if any of you want, you can email me sometime, and we can discuss that at length. But that's what the ranch is all about, the ship, so to speak. We're not interested so much in the ship. The ship is a tool. It's a necessary tool. The horses are necessary. The cattle are necessary. The ranch is necessary because it provides an atmosphere in which issues are revealed. And when they're revealed, we'll sit down and say to the child and work through it with him, you need to attend to that because God's word says this. And we need to attend to that. And it's different than sitting across the desk. How are you today? I'm fine. When you're out working with cattle and horses and all of that, you know, your unrehearsed reactions come forward. You know, you never tell how someone is by the way they act. You tell by the way they react. Their unrehearsed reactions tell you what they're like. Our unrehearsed reactions tell us what we're like. But under the banner of God's love, and I used to get depressed when I saw things in myself. I used to get just so discouraged. Think, oh, what kind of a Christian am I? And I'd work so hard to cover it up and to hide it, and I'd blame everybody else. You know, because I didn't want to accept the fact that I was like this, because I didn't really understand God's love. And it was, again, Peter, that passage where Peter says, I'm ready to die for you and go to prison. And the Lord says, before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. Peter even said, no, that's not going to happen. And when he did, the transforming thought that came to me was that Christ did not reject him and accepted him back. And I thought, I can be real before the Lord and I can say, yes, Lord, I am like this. Help me to overcome. And he will. So that's what we want to do in the child's life. And that's what he can do in your life. And some of you have experienced that. We work with cattle. That's Tristan facing the herd there at branding time. All the calves are looking at him as he's looking at them. And we do it the old-fashioned way, and we have a brand with a cross over a quarter circle down. And it's the cross on the hill. And it's on all our calves and our cattle. Tristan loves horses, and he works with them. And we have this old horse there that you can do anything. If you saw the banner outside, you see Tristan sitting on him bareback and all those types of things. We want to bring the children out of the darkness into the light. That's what it's really all about, the light of God's love and an understanding of what Christ has done for them and with a desire that they commit their lives to Christ and become people that go out and share his love to a very hurting and broken world. You can please pray for our ministry. And if you want to go online at solidrockministries.ca. Some people ask me how you can help us. You can help us if you can risk $10 a month. That's all we ask. We don't want to rob from another ministry to give to ours. If you can risk $10 a month, we can not only operate our ranch, we can expand it and minister to many, many more children. And so I thank you for your time. I thank this church for what it's done in the past, what you'll do in the future, and look forward to some of you, if Lord willing, can come down and visit us. And we have a lot of fun down there. And we'd like to welcome you, and you can see what God is doing on our ranch. Let us pray. Lord, I pray that where anything was presented unclearly, that by your Spirit you would grant clarity. I thank you for these dear brothers and sisters. I thank you for the impact they are having on their community, and because of their willingness, the impact they are having on other communities like ours and other ministries around this world. I thank you for their dear pastor and the vision that you have given him and the board and the collective vision of the church. For what can be done. And so I ask your special blessing to continue to be upon this place so they may reach out into their community, reach out into this nation, and reach out around the world, that your kingdom may come here on earth, Lord, and that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I just ask all of these things now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Afterwards, if you want to talk about anything, we can discuss it out there. I'd be happy to do that. Thank you, Pastor.